Hey guys, welcome to the number 253 ever episode of the Wiz Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn, and today we are back with another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. It's time, with the NBA draft just a day away, it's time to break down the five most likely candidates of players that the Washington Wizards could take at number 8 overall in tomorrow's NBA draft. Those five are Taylor Hendricks, Jairus Walker, Cam Whitmore, Ausar Thompson, and Anthony Black. Those are the five most likely players that the Wizards could take at number 8 overall, and we're going to examine all five of those players to see which one will most likely be there when the Wizards are on the clock and which one they should take when the Wizards are on the clock. We hope you guys do enjoy this episode. If you do, subscribe, follow, share, view, and let's not waste any time here. Let's get into this.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn.
Alright, so let me get the elephant in the room out of the way here. I'm not breaking down the Kristaps Porzingis trade as of right now, and you guys are probably thinking that is a shock because it looks like a done deal, but it really isn't. I know Woj and Shams are reporting that it's close, but it's not done yet. If Porzingis does not accept his player option, he becomes a free agent and the deal cannot get done. And the deadline is tonight at midnight. So I thought I'm gonna be on here tomorrow. I may as well just break it down tomorrow. If Porzingis does accept his player option and decides to get traded, or he doesn't have to decide, if he accepts his player option, he's gone. So, you know, kind of just figure that out. And also, even if we just assume Porzingis was accepting his player option, we don't know exactly. We've heard, like, Danilo Gallinari could be a part of the deal. We've heard, like, Amir Coffeylove. We don't know exactly what the deal is, besides we probably know Marcus Morris and the number 30 pick, which we will also break down, which we will break down tomorrow. So I just wanted to get the elephant in the room out of the way. We're not going to be breaking down the Porzingis trade since it is not official, and we do have other stuff to break down. So that will be on tomorrow's episode. Stay tuned for that. So, I mean, yeah, this is going to be a very interesting episode because we're going to break down the five most likely candidates of becoming a Washington Wizard, which is crazy. One of these five players most likely is going to be a player that we will talk about for the next few years. So, we should break them down. Let's start off here. So, again, the five are UCF forward Taylor Hendricks, Houston forward Jairus Walker, Villanova forward Cam Whitmore, Overtime Elite's guard slash forward Ausar Thompson, and Arkansas's tall guard Anthony Black. We're going to break down those five players, and I think you guys will understand which ones are most likely and all that by the end of the episode. So let's start off here with Taylor Hendricks. And to me, Taylor Hendricks is probably, out of the five, the most polished player we have yet. And the thing with a guy like Hendricks is that he has a really high floor and a low ceiling, which means he doesn't have as much potential. But at the same time, I just don't see a way where he's out of the league in like 5 years. He just seems like a guy that could consistently be in the league because, well, he's athletic. It could be a lob threat. He's a good rebounder. He's a very good rim protector. So worst case scenario, he's just a little bit of a bigger version of Miles Turner, since he could also really shoot from the outside. I'm not saying he'll be as good as Miles Turner. Miles Turner's a good NBA player, but that kind of guy. I mean, he shot 39% from deep on 4.5 attempts a night in his rookie year at UFC this year. So the point is that he, at worst case scenario, he'll be a stretch five lob threat with good rim protecting, which always keeps you in the league for a few years and usually puts you on contending teams too, teams that kind of need that rim protector that are a piece away. So he has a high floor, but he has a low ceiling because he can't really be much else after that. I mean, yeah, he could be a dominant force. He's really physical in the paint, but he's just not, you know, he sometimes has some bad decision making, which could hurt his, like, overall game if he wants to be someone that could attack the rim, kind of turn into a Giannis kind of guy. His bad decision-making will not help him if that's the kind of guy he wants to be. And I'm not saying these guys can't develop, but, I mean, it doesn't look great for him to develop that concept. And he just seems like a guy that's going to be a stretch big that's pretty good defensively. And it's either, is he that to a higher extent or is he that to a lower extent? So the Wizards could say, look, this is who I want to be my future big guy. This is who I want to be one of the future cornerstones of my franchise, and know that you're not going to get a superstar out of him. Or you could say, you know what? This is not the guy for us because he's not a superstar. If that does make sense. So that's kind of what I think of Taylor Hendricks here. He may not even be on the board by the time the Wizards come, because I've seen him mocked a ton to the Indiana Pacers. So that could easily be an option as well. So Taylor Hendricks is a very interesting player. I don't think the Wizards will take him because of his low floor, because it's kind of like, low ceiling, high floor, because it's kind of one of those situations where the Wizards are now rebuilding. They're not looking for someone to contribute. They're looking for another franchise cornerstone type guy. And Taylor Hendricks is not going to be that. So I don't see the Wizards, because it's kind of like take best guy available. And I don't think Hendricks, with kind of not that untapped potential that we'll see from other guys I'm going to mention in today's episode, I don't think they really see that. So he could still be drafted. I don't really see it, because to me, his draft comp for me is more like a smaller, more physical Miles Turner, or just a way lower ceiling of Chris Bosh, and the guy that can shoot from the outside, is physical, a good defender, a lob threat, and a good rebounder, a guy like that. So that's kind of my comp for him. Now moving on, another forward that the Wizards can take, and this guy's draft stock has definitely risen over the past few weeks. Jairus Walker, to me, his comp is like a Julius Randle-type shooter with Bam Adebayo-type dominance on both ends. I feel like that's kind of his comp to me, because, I mean, Jairus Walker coming out of Houston, I mean, he is what you like to call a talented player. This kid can ball, to say the least. I mean, he was one of the best players on Houston this year and helped them become a one seed in the NCAA tournament. He's an average shooter, 11 points this year, 7 boards, 1 steal, nearly 1.5 blocks a game. I mean, he's just a big guy. I mean, this guy's built like a tight end. He's very physical. He can dominate. Excuse me. He's very good at dominating smaller players. He penetrates to the rim very easily. You can't play off him too much because of his shot. And this kind of his only weakness is that he's one of those players where, like, you can't ignore a shot, but nor do you have to acknowledge it. It's a very average shot, because he has yet to find a consistent shot. And the only problem is, when you look at his floor, is that if he never develops a shot, he's going to have to rely on his pure physicality and pure athleticism, which luckily a guy like Giannis has done pretty well. But a guy like Zion, on the other hand, gets injured every single time he takes a step. So the point is we could see some injury risk there, and him not really being able to reach his untapped potential if he continues to be an inconsistent shooter from the outside. I mean, what is intriguing is defensively, he's unbelievable. Probably the best defensive guy we're going to mention this entire day. He could guard all 5 positions very easily. His ceiling, I mean, and the part that's really intriguing about him is that his ceiling is just a dominant force who has some stretch big abilities. So kind of a dominant force who could maybe stretch the floor. Think Joel Embiid, but to a lesser extent. I can't see Jairus Walker being an NBA MVP. But a guy like him, a guy who uses his physical attributes to dominate inside and then could also possibly have a shot from the outside, it could make him even more dangerous. However, his floor is just an inconsistent shooter who relies on athleticism, that is injury prone and isn't that much of a threat offensively, and it's just being used more defensively. So that's kind of him right there. I mean, that's Jairus Walker. I mean, but this is the guy who, because of that ceiling and because of the fact that I'm comparing him to a guy like Bam Adebayo dominance and a guy like Julius Randle's shot possibly, and Julius Randle and Bam Adebayo are both all-star All-NBA caliber players this year. His ceiling is so high that teams are going to try to take him. So we could easily see him going to Detroit at number 5. I doubt the Magic take him with already having Paolo at number 6. But then number 7, if he falls there, I doubt Indiana passes up on Jairus Walker. So there is a possibility that Walker falls. Out of all the players I'm going to mention, he's probably the least likely to fall. But we still had to mention him because, again, if he's going to be drafted in number 7 overall, that's only 1 spot, and all of a sudden the Wizards are on the clock with him on the board. So we had to mention him. This is the guy who's got a really high ceiling, but also a really low floor, and he could be a really boomer bust kind of guy coming out of Houston. Now, a guy that I really like a lot is Cam Whitmore coming out of Baltimore, Maryland, and I mean, this kid is electric. There's really no other way to say it. I mean, he's speedy, he's athletic, and he's even strong. And you don't see that a lot. When you see these speedy athletic players, think Scoot Henderson in this draft, think the Thompson brothers, they're not as physical. But with Whitmore, he's speedy, athletic, it just has amazing elusiveness. And not like a Zion type build, but I feel like he's closer to a Zion type build in his rookie year, right, when he wasn't as big, than like a Shore Thompson, if that makes sense, because he's got a lot of weight, which he uses a lot when he dominates attacking the rim, but at the same time, he's speedy and athletic, which kind of gives Giannis-type vibes. My comp for him is more like a skinnier, faster version of Zion Williamson, who is less injury-prone. Now, he doesn't exactly have the dominance in the paint that Zion has, but he's just kind of a little bit of a different, being a slasher towards the rim. Now, he is an incredible rebounder as well. That's something I ought to think about. He can defend several positions easily, but he's not really a talented defender. He more uses his height to favor him defensively. So he's not really a great defender. He's an average defender who is lucky to have some height and some weight. That kind of makes his job easy defensively. I mean, he's okay on his shots, even though he was inconsistent in Villanova. And we're kind of yet to see a person that we know could be a great shooter. I mean, Taylor Hendricks could be, but we don't know. I mean, he's an inconsistent shooter for sure. Shot 4 attempts a night, though, so that actually is a lot in college ball. So this is a guy for sure that we could see becoming a shooter one day and just hasn't developed the shot yet. Or worst case scenario, he's a slasher. So he does have ability to shoot as well. I think he just has pure raw talent, but has yet to be able to put all those skills together. And that's why I think Villanova didn't really get exactly what they maybe wanted from him this year. But I think with all of that talent, if he can put it together, he could be one of the best players in the NBA. That kind of ceiling. But his floor, though, just an athletic, injury-prone guy who barely plays with an undeveloped shot and is essentially a really bad role player. So he's a risky guy, and a party hasn't done great at his pre-draft workouts. So this is a guy who I personally had going to Detroit at number 5, and that's what it looked like after the lottery. But then now, after his pre-draft workouts, it looks like he could fall to Washington. And I feel like if he does fall to Washington, you have to take best talent available. And Cam Whitmore will probably be the best talent available. So if Cam Whitmore is available at number 8, I doubt the Wizards pass up on him. And as of right now, from what I'm hearing from these pre-draft workouts and stuff, there is a possibility Cam Whitmore is available. So Cam Whitmore, ladies and gentlemen, out of the 3 players I mentioned so far, probably has the best chance of getting drafted by the Washington Wizards tomorrow. And I'm just a big fan of his overall, and I really like the way that he plays the game. All right. These are the 2 most likely players to get drafted by Washington tomorrow. Let's start off with the Thompson brother, Assor. Now, Ahmed is not coming to Washington. That's not happening, unfortunately. Assor, on the other hand, to me, when you think of him slashing at the rim, he's kind of like a smaller version of Giannis, but is not as tenacious when it comes to his defensive abilities and his dominance in the paint. That's just kind of his slashing ability, but overall, he's just a somewhat tall guy who is physical and could attack the rim and kind of didn't really have a developed shot coming in, but is an okay shooter. So I'm kind of getting, trust me, LeBron James to a very low extent comp here when it comes to Assor Thompson, because he's one of the most athletic freaks in the draft. He can explode when he penetrates the rim and is very dominant when he gets that first step. And again, when he gets that first step, it's very hard to stop him. He's more of a wing, but has so much playmaking potential as a point forward type player, kind of like LeBron James, but he's still not ready to be a full-time point guard. His defense is okay. He kind of relies on his height and his build to kind of get there. And his defense is solid. He's yet to develop his shot. Now, that's the one thing he hasn't developed. This is a guy who was great, right? 16 points a game this year, right? 6 assists, excuse me. 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block a game. 1 block a game. On Overtime Elite as a guard, we're talking about here, over 2 steals a game. This guy is super dominant. Now, there is also one thing we have to think about, and I haven't really heard this a ton, but it could also be taken into account. And I'm not as big of a fan of this, but we do have to think about the fact that Overtime Elite is a much different league than the NBA. So in his rookie year, his adjustment from Overtime Elite to NBA ball could be a difficult switch, but I think he has all the tools to be a great player. I think he easily has playmaking potential. We saw that at Overtime Elite, averaging 6 assists a game, but he's not a great passer. He just kind of used that because of his ability to create his own shot and get open, but he absolutely has point forward potential. He could absolutely be the main ball handler of the Wizards in the future. This is a really good player, and He could easily be drafted at number 6. He could easily be drafted at number 8. I think he's going to go 6, most likely, to Orlando. But if Orlando doesn't take him, there's no way Indiana, with Chris Duarte, Benedict Mathurin, Tyrese Halliburton, to me, I do not see a way that he is taken by Indiana. So if he's passed up by Orlando at number 6, and then Ashore Thompson would be available at number 8, I may even take Ashore Thompson over Cam Whitmore. Because while Ashore has a very high floor, he also has a higher ceiling, even though it's still Even though Ashore Thompson has a high ceiling, kind of like Cam Whitmore, he has a higher floor than Cam Whitmore, even though his floor is still low. It's higher than Cam Whitmore. So, and I think he kind of fits what the Wizards need more long-term. So, personally, I would love to see Ashore in Washington, and I actually think there is a possibility it does happen. And then there's been the guy that's been mocked to the Wizards this entire time, and the guy that probably has the best chance of getting drafted to the Wizards, and I feel like I've never seen a draft where he's being taken higher or being taken lower. I feel like he's just always been mocked to the Wizards at number 8, and that is Anthony Black, who, despite not being a true point guard at Arkansas playing more shooting guard, probably has the highest IQ in the entire draft. He has really quick decision-making, which is incredible, and he has a ton of playmaking potential, even though he was more of a shooting guard. At Arkansas, he averaged 4 assists a game, 5 rebounds, 13 points, on pretty decent efficiency. Now, like a lot of players that we have mentioned, he has not to develop a consistent shot. I think with a guy like him, he uses his physical build and height. Think about this guy, though. If he is the point guard, a guy, kind of main ball handler, whatever you want to call him. 6'7", 198 is pretty big for a point guard slash shooting guard. So he uses that those abilities a lot to penetrate and attack the rim, and he's done a very good job at that. So kind of take like a Lonzo Ball. Think about like Lonzo Ball's facilitating skill set and match that with probably like a bigger build and a better attacker at the rim, and you could have yourself a decent player. But there's a reason why Lonzo Ball's never made an all-star team. And this will get to my point, is that he has a low floor and a high ceiling. He won't be a team's next superstar player. And even though he's really great defensively, he's not great one-on-one, but he's very good at disrupting passing lanes. Here's the problem with Anthony Black, is that if Bradley Beal were there, it seemed obvious the Wizards would take Anthony Black if he's available. He fits everything the Wizards would have needed out of a contributing role next to Bradley Beal, Kristaps Porzingis, and Kyle Kuzma. But now that Beal's gone, now that Porzingis is about to be gone, now that Kuzma is about to be gone, and the Wizards are about to move into a rebuilding direction, they aren't exactly looking for a specific player. They're just looking for a player. They're looking for the best player that they could find, the guy that has the highest ceiling. So if I'm the Wizards, even though so many people have mocked I'm not taking Anthony Black at number 8. I'm not doing it. I'm not taking Anthony Black at number 8 overall. If I'm the Wizards, because I don't see a way that Cam Whitmore and Ashore Thompson are both not available. And if that's the case, where they are both, or either of them are available, I would take both of them because of their untapped potential than Anthony Black. Because Anthony Black, again, would be another Corey Kispert type player that the Wizards would have to have a very good role. Never really be an all-star kind of that, but just be a consistently good player. That's not what they need. They want to try to find their next superstar, and they want to try to find it fast. And I feel like it's almost a guarantee that Anthony Black will not be the Wizards' next superstar. And if that's going to be the case, even though he has the highest IQ and I'm a really big fan of his game, I'm not taking Anthony Black at number 8 overall. So there it is, folks. Those are the 5 players that I think the Wizards could take tomorrow. Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks, Cam Whitmore, Ashore Thompson, Anthony Black. All 5 of those guys are very talented, and I'd be very excited to see any of them wear a Washington Wizards uniform next year. Who do I want it to be, and who do I think is going to be? It's a completely different question. My ideal player would be Ashore Thompson. it would be Ashur Thompson, because I really like his overall skill set, and I think the overtime elite to NBA adjustment, it's going to be an adjustment, but it won't be that big of an adjustment. I really like that he has point forward potential. He's an athletic slasher. There's just many things I like about Ashur Thompson's game, and I really like the fact I think he has a ton of defensive potential as well. I could see him being a multiple time all defensive player. So I'm a big fan of Ashur Thompson, to be honest. I think NBA teams would be really stupid to pass up on him and let him go to the Wizards at 8. But if he is at 8, I would love to see Ashur Thompson come to Washington. But what I do think is going to happen is I see them either taking Ashur Thompson or Anthony Black. Anthony Black really seems to be on the Wizards' radar. I just don't think he really adds anything now that they've officially said that they're moving in a different direction than keeping Bradley Beal. That's me personally. I would go Ashur Thompson, if he is available, at number 8 overall. We hope you guys enjoyed the 253rd ever edition of Wiz Talk with Chase. So yeah, these are the 5 guys. Stay tuned tomorrow, because if the Wizards get this Porzingis trade done, obviously we're going to have a reaction to that. And then we're going to break down some players that I would really like the Wizards to take at number 30 overall, assuming that's still a part of the deal, which it looks like if the deal is going to be done, the number 30 overall pick is going to be involved. So we're going to have a reaction to the trade and also break down some players that the Wizards could take at number 30 overall, which would mean also, by the way, that they would have 4 draft picks in tomorrow's draft, which would mean 7.5% of the draft picks that are used tomorrow would be on the Washington Wizards. Pretty cool, huh? We hope you guys did enjoy this episode. If you did, subscribe, follow, share, view. Tell me what you guys think of these players. Tell me which one you guys would draft. Tell me what you're excited about for tomorrow's draft. And stay tuned for continuous coverage over here at Wiz Talk with Chase. You're going to see a ton of uploads over the next few days. Again, we hope you guys did enjoy. Please follow me on Twitter, ChaseCoburn@CoolSportsKid. Instagram, Chase_sports_news. Please listen, Wiz Talk with Chase, Cool Sports Network. Read ChaseSportsNews.com, Cool Sports Newsletter, ChaseCoburn.substack.com. And check out Sports for Kids, youtube.com/sportsforkids, 126. Again, we hope you guys did enjoy this episode. Please subscribe, follow, share, view. And of course, as always, I will see you guys next time. Peace.